Hey, good morning, everybody. This is Ryan Sketch with Sketchbook Audio. Thanks for tuning in. It is a horrible, horrible winter day here in Detroit, Michigan. If you live around Michigan at all, or you live in Michigan, then you share my pain, most likely. I feel really bad, though, for the people who are up in, like, Wisconsin and Montana, Iowa. Specifically, I have family in-laws that are in Iowa, and I hear that they're not getting inches but feet of snow. So be safe out there while you're driving. I appreciate you tuning in. It's 10-ish, 10:30 almost, in the morning on Wednesday. I just got out of hand therapy, and I am released. I no longer have to worry about whether or not my pinky and the right side of my hand is going to function properly. It works. However, there's lag. Like, my pinky is just lagging. I can wave my hand back and forth, and my pinky is just like, hold on, I'll get there. Oh, you're already past me. Well, I'll get you on the next round. And it doesn't. It's still just lagging behind. It's kind of funny. You ever see that trick where somebody waves a pencil between their index finger and their thumb, and they tell you, hey, look, the pencil's not wood, it's rubber? That's pretty much what my pinky is. It's funny. It's not painful. Doesn't affect my drawing at all, thank God. And I can go about my business with a limp pinky. There's probably pills I can take for it. I'm just concerned about what happens if it stays stiff for longer than 6 hours or 4 hours or whatever. What kind of doctor do I go see? Because it sounds like a good time to me. We're still talking about my pinky, by the way. All of you who thought I was detracting from the pinky and the hand problem, you guys are dirty-minded people. And thank you for tuning in. I appreciate your support. Hey, so we don't talk about pinkies and hands and all that crap on this show. What do we talk about? We talk about art and design and some of the new things that are coming out in the design world, specifically with automotive. The problem is, I don't really have too much to talk about this week because Geneva is next week. However, what I can tell you is there are a crap ton, a metric, who am I kidding? This show is NSFW. There's a metric shit ton of new vehicles and concept vehicles that will be shown in Geneva. One of my most, like, anxious vehicle to see or excited vehicle to see is the Polestar 2. If you have any idea what Polestar is, then you're with me. You probably share the same excitement I do. If you don't, Polestar is the performance arm, in-house performance arm of Volvo. They've been modifying Volvos since 1996, I believe. But back then, they were doing high-performance turbocharged engines and I think they only ever went up to V8s. I could be wrong. I don't know too much about Volvo. All I know is Polestars have that little star-looking logo, and they adorn the hoods and tailgates of a lot of awesome Volvos. In fact, there are a couple Polestar Volvos that have been my dream car for many a year, including their wagons. Just absolutely love. Even the C30 had a Polestar edition, and that was gorgeous. The V60 or something that had some Polestar adornments, I do believe. But anyways, back to the Polestar 2. The Polestar 2 is the second in line from Polestar's new kind of reformatting, so to speak. They decided that they weren't going to do high-performance gas engines anymore, or diesel. There might be some diesel ones in other countries, but they are going to focus, and they restructured completely so that they could focus all of their efforts on electrification of cars. But they're doing it with a twist. Not only are they switching from gas-powered engines, so just internal combustion engines in general, they are switching to all-electric, they are also making their own cars. Yes, they are based off of internal Volvo architecture that's already there, but they are their own cars. the Polestar 1, which they showed last year, and that is officially launched, it is available for purchase and for their ride-sharing, leasing thing. That was a two-door sports car, lots of torque, super expensive, and, you know, just a freaking gorgeous car, but also not practical in the sense that, again, it's a sports car, it's two doors, and I guess the only practical aspect of it is it's all electric. Here in 2019, Volvo and Polestar have switched gears a little bit and are showing a sedan, a lifted sedan, called the Polestar 2, and it is gorgeous. I believe it's also really called the Polestar 2 Fastback. And when you look at the profile of the car, there's no other word for it. The roof line slopes all the way down in traditional Volvo style, and it dips right down into the lip of the deck lid. And it is a hatchback, liftback. So that's awesome. That means there's functionality, there's practicality, along with the electric aspect of it. I'm gonna go ahead and guess that it's all-wheel drive, and given the fact that it's sitting up higher than a traditional sedan, it's probably a very capable vehicle as well. So I am really excited to see this vehicle, not only online, which, by the way, you can go to autoblog.com, jalopnik.com, leftlanenews.com. They all have pictures of it, but I want to see this car in person, and unfortunately, I will not be going to Geneva. Now, wouldn't that be pretty awesome? Sketchbook Audio goes global and is in Geneva. Sounds like a good idea and a dream and a goal for next year. Who knows? I was invited to the Detroit Auto Show and the Chicago Auto Show. Might just happen to go to Geneva next year. Anyways, Polestar 2 is one of the vehicles that is coming out of Geneva, and I'm super excited for that. Another vehicle, which, strangely, I guess it gets my spider senses tingling. There's a slight bit of arousal. The Mitsubishi, I don't even remember what the hell it's called, but Mitsubishi is showing an all-electric concept that they are hinting that it's probably going to go to production. Unlike a lot of their other concepts with weird nomenclatures. Nomenclatures? Yeah, that's how it is. Nomenclatures. This one actually has a name. I guess it's not really a name you would recommend for a car, but whatever. It's kind of in the same vein as the Telluride, although Telluride is a place in Colorado. It's a weird name, but given the fact that Kia and Hyundai have used Western names for a lot of their cars, Santa Fe, Santa Cruz, which is a concept truck, but it's going to be here soon, and then a couple other, Tucson, you know, they're going in that vein, so the Telluride makes sense. I don't remember exactly what the Mitsubishi is called, but I gather it's going to be an off-road capable, all-electric vehicle, probably a cheaper competitor to what we have seen at Rivian with the R1S. Or is it the R1? Yeah, R1S. The R1T is the truck and the R1S is the SUV. So I am excited to see that. Why? Because I owned a Mitsubishi Eclipse Cross, and one of my biggest complaints was it was underpowered and it was not fuel efficient at all. So, an all-electric one could bring me back to the Mitsubishi name. However, I do wish Mitsubishi would do something along the lines of the Polestar 2. I think that makes sense. Here's my thought process on that. We're not going to get a traditional Lancer Revolution ever again. We are not going to see a small sedan that has that compact rocket power that's gas, of course, you know, in a turbocharged vehicle. We're just not going to see it. What we could see, however, is much like the Polestar 2, a lifted sedan that's got all of the rally chops and the electric power behind it that's going to give it all the torque and wizardry that the Evo was known for in the first place. So, listen, we all need to just put the past behind us. We're never going to see what we saw 10, 20 years ago. It's just, it's not in the cards. What we can see is take those same vehicles, electrify them, and make them a little bit more functional and practical. The Evo, where it failed, was it was a niche vehicle. It wasn't for everyone, and you needed to be in that hot hatch or that compact sedan fold to really understand the passion behind that kind of vehicle. Not a lot of people have that. Plus, for the money, you know, you could buy a used M3 or M4. There's so many other used luxury performance vehicles that you could have bought that were, you know, slightly used, or you could have bought the Lancer Evolution. So some may say those people who bought the Evo were crazy. I say the same people who bought the Evo are the same kind of people who would buy an STI, and you're all crazy, but who the hell cares? It's an awesome car. But just imagine if that car was lifted a little bit, you got rid of the ICE, the internal combustion engine drivetrain, and you put an electrification into it, put a motor at each wheel, or put a motor on each axle, you've got the best all-wheel drive system in the world. And I think that's what's going to happen. But I think first what Mitsubishi is going to do is, a lot like everybody else, they're going to attack that crossover SUV market first. They're going to hit it hard. And I'm kind of excited to see that. There's a bunch of other vehicles that are going to be shown at Geneva. Lamborghini is going to show off. I think it's the Huracan, Spider. There's a few others that I cannot remember their names right now, but whatever. Go to autoblog.com, go to Jalopnik, go to Left Lane, Google Geneva, whatever. There are tons of vehicles that are going to be shown there that I'm just drooling over, probably because I'll never get to see them here in the United States, but I have hope. One of those, actually, that I can remember is the Peugeot 508 and the Peugeot 208. Those images were leaked a few days ago, but now we have official images. And I got to tell you, on the 508, I didn't really like the front end originally, but now they have this fully electrified one, and it's performance-oriented. So it's pretty sexy, I got to admit. I was a little bit turned off by the fangs that it has for the LED running lights, but now seeing them on this performance package, it looks pretty sweet. And I guess it's just because I'm so used to seeing running lights, you know, going horizontal rather than vertical. However, Cadillac has been plowing the way on vertical oriented daytime running lights, and I think they're making a really big statement. They're gorgeous lighting, and I applaud them for going off in a totally different direction, all the puns intended. So instead of going horizontal, now they're going vertical, and I think it's pretty cool. It's just the way that Peugeot did it is they completely bisected the front bumper, and it's interesting. It reminds me of like an electrified saber-toothed tiger, I guess. I don't know. Take a look at it. Where I think it really succeeds, and this is interesting because you're going from a big car to a small car, but their new hatchback, the 208, that is just a sexy freaking little hatchback. And what got me really excited about that was Peugeot has decided, PSA is the whole company, by the way. So you got Peugeot, Citroën, and they recently purchased Opel from GM. But Peugeot is going to lead the French charge back in the United States. And I know that didn't end well for them the last time, or the time before that, or the time before that. But the fact of the matter is, they have sweet cars. Now, if only Americans could get it through their head that European fashion is the shit, and it's awesome, and I freaking love it, and I think a lot of other people do, maybe they'll accept it. They also have to accept hatchbacks, which I think is really lagging. We talked about it in the last episode. There's not many hot hatches, let alone just hatchbacks in general, here in the United States. And what little ones we had a couple years ago, that market is still shrinking. And I don't get it, because they're smart. We're smarter than a compact sedan. You have a hatch, it's functional, and you can put all-wheel drive in it. Mazda did it. Ford did do it with the RS. They could have easily done it with the ST. Hell, the Focus Active might have actually had all-wheel drive. We don't know yet. but that was supposed to be coming to the United States, and thanks to Trump, we will no longer get that. So, you know, I wish there were more hatchbacks here. Dodge and Fiat actually had some pretty cool ideas for the Dart and for Fiat. I really dig that Fiat, what was it called, the fastback concept. I think that is pretty sexy. It's a little thick. I've noticed some people have complained that it's a little large, but come on. Dodge did that with the Charger and the Challenger when they brought them back out in 05 and 08, respectively. But, you know, I maybe because they were performance muscle cars and they had a lot of horsepower and torque to drag that weight, I don't know. But look, people complained about it, that they were heavy, that they were fat, they were pigs, they were bloated, whatever. And they're still outselling the Mustang, the Camaro, so on and so forth, because they're just freaking sweet and they work. You don't necessarily have to have the Demon or the Hellcat to get good performance and just awesome handling from those vehicles. You just need to have like the Scat Pack or some minor performance modifications to make it handle a little bit better, whether that's some suspension components or weight reduction, whatever. You can do it. My point is, I think Fiat would be smart to bring that fastback concept here to the United States. And I also think that Peugeot and Citroën and a lot of other car companies should bring hatchbacks to the United States and just flood the market. Get rid of all of your sedans and just hit us with hatchbacks. Maybe we'll accept it then. I feel like Americans like being inundated with something to the point, like, you know, initially they hated it, but now all of a sudden they love it. Whatever. It might happen. Hopeful dreams. Like I said, Geneva's is the hot news, and it's not here yet. It's here next week. There are some leaks coming out. There are some teasers. There are some early reveals, like with the Polestar 2, so you can see and get a taste of what's to come, but I don't have too much else to talk about. I do want to quickly mention, for my buddy Anthony LaFada, who I'm still trying to get on the show, so hopefully if you're listening, Anthony, I'm sorry, I've just been kind of busy. We're going to make it happen here soon, but your point about comic design or character design and concept art, I've got a ton of books and resources for you guys to check out. I'm going to post pictures of them later this evening on the Sketchbook_audio for Instagram. Take a look at it. They are great resource material. They've helped me, and they continue to help everybody else in the animation, the concept art industry, and I think you guys can learn a lot from it. Marvel produced their own. There was How to Draw Comics Like Marvel. That was a great one. Hell, even Stan Lee is cameoed in the book. So many books, I can't even think of the names right now. But I will post pictures of them, and I highly recommend you guys go and pick them up. Half the books I have are old, but it doesn't matter. It's totally irrelevant. They are still very relevant and practical for character art, concept design, whatever. And if you want to do environmental design or you want to do asset design, I've got books for that too. In fact, I'm willing to sell them to you if you're willing to buy them. So I'll post them up on Instagram. Tell me what you think. If you're having a hard time finding them, maybe I'll be kind enough and release them to you. Hey, we're coming up on 19 minutes here. The roads still suck. I'm on 696. It looks like they plowed it. So if you're on 696 or you're going to be on 696 and you live here in Detroit, it looks pretty safe. However, the back roads, give it till tomorrow and they might be cleared up by then. Who knows? It's Michigan. Hopefully our new governor really sets her foot down and fixes the damn roads. So we'll see. Anywho, be good to one another. Get your sketchbooks out. I started to draw motorcycles, and I posted them on my running blog kind of portfolio. It's fastinkdesigns.blogspot.com. That's fast, F-A-S-T, ink, I-N-K, designs.blogspot.com. Check it out. Tell me what you think. I'm going to post more. I don't typically draw motorcycles, but I'm trying to get into it because I really dig them, and I want to own a motorcycle at one point. Specifically, the Harley Davidson Livewire. Really intrigued by that bike, and the price tag is a little hefty, but whatever. Maybe I can find a used one in a couple years. Anywho, be safe, be good to one another, and sketch your ass off. Don't stop. Do it because you love it. Don't worry about other people and the money. Just do it because you love it. Till next time, guys. This is Ryan Sketch, signing out.